Harper Audio presents Moriarty, a novel by Anthony Horowitz, performed by Julian Rind Tutt. From the Times of London, the 24th of April, 1891. Highgate body found. Police have no explanation for a peculiarly brutal murder that has come to light close by Merton Lane, in the normally pleasant and quiet vicinity of Highgate. The deceased, a man in his 20s, had been shot in the head, but of particular interest to the police was the fact that his hands had been tied prior to the killing. Inspector G. Lestrade, who is in charge of the inquiry, inclines to the belief that this dreadful act took the form of an execution and may be related to recent unrest in the streets of London. He has identified the victim as Jonathan Pilgrim, an American who had been staying at a private club in Mayfair and who may have been visiting the metropolis for reasons of business. Scotland Yard has been in contact with the American legation, but so far no address has been found for the dead man, and it may be some weeks before any relatives come forward. The investigation continues. Chapter 1. The Reichenbach Falls. Does anyone really believe what happened at the Reichenbach Falls? A great many accounts have been written, but it seems to me that all of them have left something to be desired, which is to say, the truth. Take the Journal de Genève and Reuters, for example. I read them from start to finish. Not an easy task, for they're both written in that painfully dry manner of most European publications, as if they're reporting the news because they have to, not because it's something they want you to know. And what exactly did they tell me? That Sherlock Holmes and his foremost adversary, Professor James Moriarty, of whose existence the public were only now learning, had met and that both of them died. Well, it might as well have been an automobile accident for all the excitement those two authorities managed to put into their prose. Even the headlines were dull. But what really puzzles me is the narrative of Dr. John Watson. He describes the entire affair in Strand magazine, starting with the knock on the door of his consulting room on the evening of April the 24th, 1891, and continuing with his journey to Switzerland. I yield to no one in my admiration for the chronicler of the adventures, exploits, memoirs, casebooks, and so on, of the great detective. As I sit at my Remington No. 2, improved model typewriter, an American invention, of course, and begin this great labor, I know that I am likely to fall short of the standards of accuracy and entertainment that he maintained to the end. But I have to ask myself, how could he have got it so wrong? How could he have failed to notice inconsistencies that would have struck even the most obtuse police commissioner as glaringly obvious? Robert Pinkerton used to say that a lie was like a dead coyote. The longer you leave it, the more it smells. He'd have been the first to say that everything about the Reichenbach Falls stank. You must forgive me if I seem a touch over emphatic, but my story, this story, begins with Reichenbach, and what follows will make no sense without a close examination of the facts. And who am I? So that you may know whose company you keep, let me tell you that my name is Frederick Chase, that I am a senior investigator with the Pinkerton Detective Agency in New York, and that I was in Europe for the first, and quite possibly the last, time in my life. My appearance? Well, it's never easy for a man to describe himself, but I will be honest and say that I could not call myself handsome. My hair was black, my eyes an indifferent shade of brown. I was slender, and though only in my 40s, I was already too put upon by the challenges life had thrown my way. I was unmarried, and sometimes I worried that it showed in my wardrobe, which was perhaps a little too well worn. If there were a dozen men in the room, I would be the last to speak. That was my nature. I was at Reichenbach 5 days after the confrontation that the world has come to know as the final problem. Well, there was nothing final about it, as we now know, and I guess that just leaves us with the problem. So, let's take it from the start. Sherlock Holmes, the greatest...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?